You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you. Going on, everybody, and welcome to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for fanatical conversations from the nerd inside of you. It's your boy Val Cisco. With me, as always, the fun bunch over here, Mr. Jay Rance. How you doing, sir?
Ooh, I'm chilling, brother. I am good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And as always, with us too, ooh, the master of potions himself, the crazy clown, prince of crime, Jake the Snake. How you doing?
I wish I had a clown on. Oh, that would have been great. How you doing, everybody? I'm back here to have some fantastic.
He cared about the clown honking. I thought I'd be like, yo, I care about the potions.
Gave him different monikers right there. Pick one.
Word. I go with the potions.
Turn page.
Well, guys, I'm super happy that you guys are back with me again as we're talking all the crazy things in the world of pop culture, having barbershop conversations about the things that we are interested in. A slow week of news, but it's okay because we're going to kind of fill the bulk of this conversation with WandaVision conversation since Jake finally finished or he's at least caught up to date with WandaVision. So now we can have an integral conversation about this damn show.
Yay!
But before we get into that, let's talk about, I guess, two funny little news items of this week. One I'm gonna give for Jay, and the other one for Jake. Both, I'm not too sure how excited you guys are, but let's start off with Jay. It's been announced we have Riri Williams coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She's going to have her own Disney Plus show, Ironheart. How do you feel about that? We're finally going to get your boo Riri in the Marvel Universe.
I'm super excited about that, man, because one, you know, being a sister, like, characters like that really don't get huge spotlights. Like, we really started seeing that with the X-Men. Mm. And to me, she's up there with everything on Tony Stark's on par with the genius level, everything. And I love her story, you know, as she goes and finds herself, because literally she's a genius that was bored. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So in her boredom and stuff like that, she just became Ironheart. So I'm super excited about this. I didn't hear about this. I'm lost. When did this drop? Yeah, like, this shit just caught me off guard. Because I heard about the Kamala Khan, but the Riri?
Yeah.
Is it official?
It's official. Dropped, I believe, like, yesterday. I think her name is Dominique Thorne. She, her best claims to fame so far are in Judas and the Black Messiah. And then the other one was If Beale Street Could Talk. Both recent movies from 2018 and, of course, recently 2021. So she's fairly new to the game. But I guess those two movies really just captivated Disney enough to say, you know what, let's take a risk. And at times, Disney, if I know Disney well enough, they see things in people that we ourselves don't see. They kind of look beyond the specter and say, okay, cool. Like, you have something special. Let's go ahead and see how far we could push. And I think giving her a spotlight like this, with an important character, I feel like she's an important character. I know she's a niche character to a lot of people. But, you know, for me, for you, who grew up, you know, reading comics and, you know, you yourself loving Riri, Ironheart in general, I think this is going to be very special. I think we need a person like this in the Marvel Universe to kind of alleviate the pressure from Peter Parker being that, like, super genius character. And now we can have someone like Riri take the helm.
I'm looking at a picture of her. I like it. I like it. It's, like you said, they see something that we don't. But here I see it, because that Ironheart picture they compared to it is actually sitting next to my bed, because that's like the comic collection, you know, the book collection and stuff of Ironheart. And I like it. I'm not disappointed, bro. I am so with it. Like, yeah, this is great.
I think this is going to be the seeds to what we hope for with a young Avengers, or at least something.
I think so.
Something coming.
Sorry for cutting you off. I'm like super excited about that. But I think so with the Kamala Khan first, now Ironheart, bro. Miles is in the video game universe. So, but yeah, you have all the foundations. Just add a Squirrel Girl, American Chavez, and you got Young Avengers, man.
We have America Chavez already set up. So she's supposed to debut in the Ms. Marvel show as well, too. Mm-hmm. Squirrel Girl, I'm hoping we get at least her. Jake's probably oblivious to all these characters, but if you saw them, I would beg you, when you get a chance, maybe after the podcast, look up characters like Squirrel Girl, America Chavez, Ironheart, Kamala Khan, and you will absolutely fall in love with these characters. These are the characters which I believe, if we grew up in the 60s, that was a little bit more culturally accepted, these were the characters we would have loved, like, you know, your original Peter Parkers and whatnot, growing up like that, saying Spider-Man was my guy in the 60s. These characters right here represent that.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm looking at them now. This is definitely something to, you know, kind of take with you. And even for those listening that aren't aware or aren't, you know, as big comic fans, but, you know, just something like this will definitely pique your interest and, you know, look into it more and be excited for this kind of new addition, something different.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I'm all on board. The inclusion with these characters are just super important. You know, Ironheart, Kamala, mm-hmm. Chavez, all these are significant to all our communities. Well, any kind of minority community is looking for a voice. Mm-hmm. These characters speak more than I see, like, if they were to portray, like, a black Superman or, you know, or Asian Hulk or, you know, a Latino Sorcerer Supreme, which all sounds great and all, but when you have a Latino Sorcerer Supreme...
I'm just chanting spells in Spanish in my head right now.
That one might work. But I think more so these teenage or child heroes that we get to read and watch grow up in front of our eyes are significantly more important than just slapping that on an established character. These are the characters where the 16-year-old, the 12-year-old can pick up or watch and say, wow, like, this represents me. And I feel like we've been missing that for at least a couple of years. I want to say a good 5 to 10 years. Even though these characters have been in the comics, now that they're coming to the screen, whether it's TV or the movies, it's a game changer.
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
It's the perfect time, you know, to release these characters, like you said, you know, Kamala Khan being Muslim, so people can relate to them, you know, in the Muslim community. And like you said it perfect, bro. So I am all for this and super excited. I really want to see how this goes.
All right, Jake, this is yours now.
I don't think it's going to be as this.
Maybe. Let's see if you can throw a spin on it. And maybe Jay has some thoughts about it too. But, you know, Nickelodeon has rolled out a new show, or at least a new show that to be coming pretty soon, which stars, I want to say, what? The sidekick of SpongeBob SquarePants, the Patrick Star Show, is coming to Nickelodeon. Jake, I know you were a SpongeBob fan. I know you love the little hidden things behind that show, the Easter eggs, if you will, that an adult or a teenager could find funny as well as a child. And from what, 1999 all the way to what, 2011 or 12, or a little bit more than that? You know, that character really spoke to a lot of children and teenagers at that time as well, too. We are years removed from SpongeBob being on TV. Do you find this weird that we're getting, number one, a Patrick show, and number two, we're trying to capitalize on that SpongeBob, I guess, nostalgia with this show as well, too?
To answer the question, I mean, I really don't know, because in all honesty, I don't see us as the audience target audience at all. I really don't. I think that they're trying to present a different side of the show. I guess opening up a different universe for, you know, younger generations and newer people coming in. So they probably are going to tweak it a lot to fit that audience, because I mean, when you really think about it, Patrick in himself is that kind of silly character that does grab like a younger audience, you know what I mean, with all the stuff he does, the faces that he makes. I think that's my take to it. It's I don't think we're the audience at all, and I don't think it's intended for us to watch.
I feel like in the last 10 years we have lived in a world of nostalgia, and everything that was once old is new again. And when you look at shows like Fuller House, or even like recently Punky Brewster coming back as well too, those are supposed to capture the eyes of the audience from old and the new audience as well too, to kind of blend together and watch together. I feel like this show is so far removed from what I guess SpongeBob was to that generation, but at the same time I feel they could drag, like, let's say a me to watch this with my youngest daughter as well too, and maybe get a couple of chuckles. But I don't think I'll find the jokes, or at least the smart humor that was in SpongeBob in the first place, like I would in this show.
That's why I wouldn't pin this on nostalgia, because it's easy to do that. It's easy to slap a name, slap a character, and be all like, ah, nostalgia, right here. Like, no, I don't think that's the intent at all. I think this is more, again, and here's the thing. With Nickelodeon, it's not as ambitious as it used to be. I'll say that. And I think with doing a Patrick Star show, you're going on the safe side, because you are using something that's already well established, something that's already familiar. And I mean, Patrick is, I don't want to say relatable character, but he's a funny character. You know what I mean? Like he's being used in memes almost just as much as SpongeBob is, depending on the context. So again, I don't see them using that same kind of writing. Reading the plot about it, it just seems so far off from anything remotely related to SpongeBob, like at all. But again, I haven't seen SpongeBob in years, at least as like the newer series. So I don't know what the writing has been like recently, but I know that they still try to test the waters that they used to have, just not as deep. So I think this is going to be something entirely new, something entirely different. But I do, just bringing up this idea, my first two comments are, talk to Seth MacFarlane and talk to Matt LeBlanc. Right. Look how that turned out. It's not always gonna work. Again, that's a problem and an issue with taking that safe side. And it's like, oh, you know, like with Friends, like everybody loved Joey, you know. Joey's like a very memorable character on his own. You know, he could probably survive and do well on his own. Well, look how that turned out. Seth MacFarlane tried to do the same thing, but he tried to do it in an even riskier take by doing Cleveland. Like, Cleveland was there, but he wasn't like ever a star or meant to be somebody that you could gravitate towards. So that was a very risky move on his part, and it did. After watching it, I will say there was a lot that the Cleveland show did that was pretty funny and was actually very smart. But it's still Seth MacFarlane humor, and I think that's what people couldn't really separate. It's it wasn't supposed to be like Family Guy or anything like that. It's just he has, you kind of almost expect his jokes at times. And I think that that's what went wrong with the Cleveland show. It's you expect Seth MacFarlane humor, especially when it comes to cartoons. So I think the Patrick show is going to be something entirely different, honestly, that we're not going to be used to, and might even surprise us. Am I saying it's going to be good or bad? I don't know. It really all depends on how they take it, the characters that they draw. Cause I don't think we know too much about Patrick's family, but
conversation there. I appreciate you with that, Jake. Jake, do you have any thoughts about this?
You trying to take shots because my conversation wasn't for
me?
No,
I'm not saying that at all. I'm playing.
I'm playing. No,
go ahead.
I mean, I really don't have much to say about this. Never really was a SpongeBob fan, so I mean, I tried to sit down and watch it a few times, but
it's an acquired taste. You know, let me say this, and this is probably gonna change people's perception about me. I don't give a fuck because this is like what 99. Is when SpongeBob first came out. My brother was obsessed with it. I wasn't. I hated it. You know why? You know what I was
SWAT
watching?
Cats.
Because there were two shows that came on at that time. It was Clifford, there was Clifford and fucking SpongeBob. Don't you dare touch my Clifford. Like I was obsessed with Clifford, and I don't know why. But it was, I don't know. Maybe it was safe. I don't know.
The big devil red dog is safe.
But
no, I mean, I just never really got into it, and our friends really enjoyed it, like our boy Jamie, our boy Dwayne, and they would love it. These dudes would just watch it religiously back to back, and I would sit there with them and I'm like, what's so funny about this? Like, you know, like they would find stuff like, oh, I caught a butt cramp. Like, bro, I'm like, how is this funny?
You know, to me, you know what it was though, and like this is what kind of made it like kind of religious is the quotables. It is such a quotable show, and the minute that you and your friends start, like, it doesn't end, it just goes. I mean, look what we were doing with the remote blob yesterday. Like, no. It just started, and it's just snowball effect into, you know,
you know, it takes me.
That, and that's what SpongeBob did, especially because, like, this is, you know, as we grew older, you know, from middle school to high school, still watching SpongeBob, like, I felt like me and my friends, we weren't afraid to still kind of embrace that kid inside of us, you know what I mean? While we're going through all the teenage angsty shit that you're supposed to, you know, and supposed to train yourself to be an adult while we're over here, you know, listening to emo depressing ass music, watching SpongeBob and then watching Invader Zim, but then going back and watching Powerpuff Girls, you know what I mean? Like, it's like this perfect balance, and because each of them, especially SpongeBob, still had that adult humor to it. But again, it's the quotable shit that what makes it great, because once you start, it doesn't stop. And then, you know, hearing the chuckle as soon as you see something or say something, it's because, like, you know that you're connecting with that quote. You know exactly where I'm going to go with it next. That's okay. What I always felt with SpongeBob.
You have any last minute thoughts on SpongeBob, Jay?
Nah, I really don't. I mean, I guess it's cool. I guess it's new age.
There we go. I know, unfortunately, guys, that's, like, really the news of the week. Everything really much has been, like, covered extensively, like Chadwick Boseman being recognized as best actor at the Golden Globes on Sunday, which is pretty dope as well too. And then everything has pretty much been on a standstill. I mean, March is going to be a heavy month. We have the WandaVision finale happening soon. We have Falcon and Winter Soldier happening right the week afterwards. We have Justice League that same week, and then we have Godzilla and Kong. So there's so many things happening in March, which I'm okay with having a slow news week, because now we can really deep dive into something that we tried to do last week, and I think me and Jay had great conversations with it, but we never got a chance to hear, you know, Jake's side, like Jake's, his point of view on the show whatsoever. Now that he's all caught up, let's just dive into it. You know, and it was Agatha all along, Jake. Jake, I'm going to give it to you. Where do you want to start first? Okay.
Let me just give my thoughts on the show to begin with. Majority of it I watched while it was in the background. So there may have been conversations that I missed here and there. But like for the most part, I will say, like, off the first episode, I started thinking to myself, like, this is a really smart show. Like, I really enjoyed what they did with it. And it was a very adventurous, like, take on and an idea for the show. Really, and that kind of nostalgia feel, and kind of taking the levels the different decades of television was executed phenomenally. Like, I was impressed and having a hell of a good time with just that alone. And I mean, I guess the lore on the MCU is kind of expanding as the show goes on, and I was here for it, but at the same time I was just like so invested in just the concept of WandaVision alone, and I think that's what I enjoyed the most out of it.
I think that's what I enjoyed as well. Like you said, like when it just started off straight 50s black and white, I know a lot of people really took to that, to social media, just to bash it. And it's like, if you look past that, it's very, very, like you said, adventurous. It's something different. It's something that a lot of people wouldn't attempt nowadays. And that's why I gravitated to it, with that little cheesy humor and stuff. Like, you know, immediately one of my favorite lines is, oh, my wife and her flying saucers, you know, when she smacked them with the plate. Like, that little cheesy humor when he, like, you know, shakes his face and goes human mode and, like, the facade. So that little cheesy humor, that's what gravitated to me. Some people, like, really found it hard to get into. So, I don't know.
Because I think it all just still goes to that, like, I think when people think Marvel in general, especially with the new MCU, like, they want that action. They want that, like, super dramatics in there. But, again, like, I guess towards the end, you start to get it and you understand exactly what was happening step by step. But just, again, tackling that, like, it's very refreshing, especially because it's like, I think by the second episode when they were going for, that was more of like a Bewitched kind of, that, or yeah, was that more, was that Bewitched, like, or Bewitched, was that more of a, you know, I remember watching it and thinking, like, holy shit, you know, like, if I didn't know any better, I would really think that I'm watching a decade-old show like this, just because it was so well-written. And honestly, like, the technique to be able to replicate that, it's so bizarre and extraordinary that you're able to do that. Now, me personally, I did watch a lot of black and white shit. Laurel and Hardy was my shit, you know. Abbott and Lou Costello, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie. Like, I used to watch all those, you know, old shows with my grandmother and my dad. So, you know, that hit me, but I don't want to use that because then that's going to be everyone else. Well, you know, you don't appreciate. No. It has nothing to do with that. But you got to appreciate something that's advantageous as this, because that's not easy to do. You could easily lose people just because of the concept itself. People will not go past the concept. But once you get past the concept and you're open yourself to it, you realize, like, just how extraordinary it is to be able to pull something off like that. And I mean, from the themes to, like, the, you know, the songs, and then, like, everything in between, the costume, the attention to the detail with the home, the you know, the punchline, I'm gonna stop because I know some, you know, everyone else wants to get their opinion in, but it's just those little things, and this is why I enjoy film and television, because it's just extraordinary. It's
I mean, you feel like I feel, like, because last week when you had, sorry for jumping in, but, like, I was telling Val that I was like, aside from all the guessing, the digging that everybody is doing, I am genuinely just enjoying the show because every episode just gets better. Every episode is an art. Color, you know, in the 50s you didn't have the color, but it was impactful when it came out, from the chopper to the blood on what was her name, Dottie, and things of that nature. And it was just so well executed. But just to add to what you said, I think that's kind of like how people feel nowadays. If it's not Michael Bay explosion, it's not interesting. Sometimes an episode, well, I mean for me, everybody's different. It doesn't need explosion. It doesn't need action. It doesn't need fisticuffs. Just deep, deep interwoven drama, spoken feelings and everything. Like, that blows away a fucking explosion, in my opinion. And you got that within a few episodes of this show. And I don't know, man. I'm not really ready for the finale. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah.
I think you guys said Frank, perfectly. I think those first three episodes are so crucial. And I think that's why they're the most diverse, but then again, the most popular episodes as well, too, because they're so risky. Like, it is that's a risk to throw all those risky different themes together and see what works, but they pulled it off perfectly. I still say, like,
those first three episodes and the latest one that came out are still my favorite episodes of storytelling, at least. And the latest episode, you know, it didn't have all those multiple themes, but you got an explanation of those multiple themes and how the story storytelling took place there. But those first three are just so crucial to the psyche of Wanda. And I wanted to ask you that.
Absolutely.
You know, me and Jay, we talk about this daily, but we know this is the first time we got to hear your thoughts. So how do you feel about Elizabeth Olsen's portrayal throughout the years, or at least the different sitcom iterations that she's trying to portray?
You know what's crazy? It's and maybe I'm looking too much into it, but from the beginning, as I was watching it, there was something about the acting that was throwing me off. And then, like, it occurred to me by the second or third episode that I realized, like, she's so fake. Like, she really is. Like, she's stuck in her own delusion that even she sounds so fake right now. And I think that that's what was supposed to be portrayed by Elizabeth Olsen, is that kind of fakeness. And that's what I was, like, thoroughly enjoying, because as, you know, the story is progressing, and we should have warned people if you haven't seen it, you know, spoiler alerts, like, her psyche was just so fucked up. And grief is a bitch. Like, it really is. And so as I'm applying the grief that she's feeling to what she's portraying, like, you can obviously tell, like, how fake her character is throughout these different series that, you know, the different WandaVision series, you know, from the old, you know, 50s to, like, the 80s and 90s, Malcolm in the Middle-ish kind of thing. even with the more recent Modern Family kind of take, like, there was still that fakeness in her personality that was just, like, to me, it was way out there. And I'm not saying that it was poor acting. Like, that was the whole point of it. It's fake because everything around her is fake, and deep down she knows that. And so, like, there's not a lot that she has to be, except for just trying to make sure that Vision believes everything around him.
That's a phenomenal explanation as well. I see your point, and I think it's phenomenal. I also just have my feelings where I feel Paul Bettany is just a fucking stud and outshines her a lot of the times in a lot of the episodes. I felt that she got lost, especially, like, in the 70s era. To me, I was like, yeah, you're getting a little lost, you know, keep up. But I mean, yeah, I get you. I can kind of say that you're correct about that. Maybe that's why she got lost at times, and it was just her having to play this whole fake role because she's in a fake role.
I could see that, and I could understand that a little bit better as well, too. Now, I do agree with Jay on some parts. You know, I feel like the Brady Bunch, Wanda's Brady Bunch interpretation wasn't the best, and her Modern Family wasn't the best either. But I loved those first two episodes. So even the Malcolm in the Middle was pretty awesome as well, too. Let's just get off of that for a second. Let's talk about the side characters, and, like you said, how the Marvel Universe is expanding. Let's talk about, you know, characters like characters like Darcy, Monica Rambeau, and whatnot. How do you feel about those characters being interjected in this story? Because they all have different subplots that are happening in front of our eyes along with the Wanda drama. Jake, I'll give it to you.
Oh, Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to go? so, like, what's sad is that I've been out of the MCU for a while, and it's been a while since I've watched anything MCU, so there were, like, nods and Easter eggs and stuff that, like, totally went way over my head. Like, I had to do exploring to realize. Let me just start with what's her name?
Monica?
Your daughter. You just said it. Monica, yes. I want more out of her. I think she came in too strong from the very beginning, since she was, you know, when she was, because when we first see her, she's in the Wanda world, right?
Yeah, when she's
it's when we first see her, when she's playing
one of the characters, yeah.
Yeah, right. So when we actually get to who she is, it, like, she immediately just like took off as just that, as Monica Rambeau. So like she was immediately like a tough kind of, you know, like, you know, a very big stepping character, you know, taking the place of her mother and stuff like that. And I wasn't really sold on it. Like, I want her to be, like, I can tell, like, she's gonna be a very in-depth character, but I felt like I didn't get enough time to really understand who she is, and, you know, where she's gonna stand in this MCU, because, like, she immediately just, like, took charge, and I was like, okay, you know, and so that kind of threw me off a little bit. With Darcy's just fun. I don't really remember her too much from the Thor movies, again, because it's been so damn long. And I think I only saw those movies like once, never really went back to them. But Darcy's character is fun. I like it. She kind of provides some extra comedic humor in there. But at the same time, I was rooting for her to win because I knew that she knew what was going on, because she's seen some shit. She's been in some shit. So her character is really fun. And then Wu, I really think that he needs more. I think he needs more meat, because he is a fantastic character. He really owns that role, you know, because like he is in this very important position, but he still has time to make jokes. And, you know, when you really think about it, putting yourself in their place, in their world, you realize, like, I can't believe all this shit's happening. You know what I mean? Like, we got space aliens, we got, you know, heroes and stuff, and I'm over here trying to do this, like, big man job here. So you gotta take time to just unload, make a quip, make a joke, and I think that's what his character is. It's realizing, like, how important you are in this unrealistic world, so make a joke, you know, but still get your job done, and I love that. I love how he takes that. And I'm glad that we got to see more of him in here, because I absolutely loved him in Ant-Man. I thought he was perfect, especially with his kind of back Paul and Rudd. Forth between
Paul Rudd.
What's his name? Paul Rudd, and even his daughter. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was like a great back and forth. And so his companion more in this movie is, I feel more of like with Darcy than with Monica. Mm.
Yeah,
and yeah, I don't know.
No, I love that's it, just man. My take. Like, I'm just quiet because, like Val said, you know, we want to get your views on this, because, you know, Val and I have just freaking went back and forth hours and stuff with, you know, digging and how we feel about some things. But I agree with you. Some would say that, you know, Wanda is not the protagonist of the show. It's actually Monica Rambeau who becomes Photon, because you see her when she went through, you know, the barrier and stuff, then when her eyes started glowing and she started seeing everything in the energy spectrum. So that's why she's very forceful, I believe, because some say, and I believe as well, it's a Photon storyline, and there's more to it. Maybe she's real strong like that and forceful because you've seen Captain Marvel, right? Okay, yeah, so you know she's the little girl from Captain Marvel. And obviously with all that drama, probably growing up without her mother, she had to become strong. There is some beef, which we want to explore and see with her and Carol Danvers, because every time they mention Danvers, she gets mad. When she was going through the barrier, that's what kind of, like, you know, aggravated her, and she was like, oh, I became Photon. So I think that's why she's forceful. And I think you're right with the Jimmy Woo and the Darcy, because in all that's going on with the sadness, with the grief, with the seriousness, with the Hayward, the stick up his butt. You need a humor, bro. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, and that's where Jimmy Woo comes in, and Darcy. So I think they're phenomenal. And just them interacting with some Avengers character, Vision, like Vision and Darcy, I think it was just phenomenal. That's a team that we need, and we never knew that they were going to be that great. So I like all your points, man. And to me, I just think maybe Wu is in this in some weird reason. This is just me reaching, because, you know, Ant-Man, Quantum Realm, Multiverse of Madness, some way, somehow, maybe this will intertwine into probably Can or something. So I don't know. That's just me with Wu, but we'll see, though. I love your points.
Yeah, both of you guys are just phenomenal right there. This is an excellent conversation right here. This is awesome podcast right here. I'm sneezed. first of all, Wu legitimately is a star of the show, in my opinion. How do you go from magic cards to badassery in 3.5 seconds? That part where him and Monica went to town on these little agents, on these sword agents, and Darcy's like, you didn't give me a cue! Like, Wu going 0 to 100 is great. I need more of that right there. I agree with Jay. I think this is very much a Photon story as well, too. I love the side characters as well, too. And I just noticed this as well, too. I don't know why I didn't think about it, but Monica Rambeau, she is just as cold and callous as Carol is. In that whole Captain Marvel movie, you know, it's a very dull movie. And that's because of Brie Larson's very much, like, I wouldn't say monotone performance, but it's very cold. It's a very cold performance.
You think it is?
Okay, but it matches, I mean, though. Like Monica's like performance matches Brie Larson's.
The only thing, maybe this is just me going off the rails and trying to nitpick and find an excuse for that dry, dull performance. I mean, even though I love Captain Marvel, the movie and the character, maybe I just felt Brie Larson in a role of empowerment as Carol Danvers. It came through a little bit too much because we know Brie Larson is very vocal with, like, the male community, and she's very woman empowered. So I think maybe that shined a little bit too much in the movie.
I don't know the characters too much as far as, like, you know, what their personalities are like in the comics. But what I got out of Brie Larson and Carol Danvers is, you know, I feel like there doesn't have to be a lot of emotion. And I think that that's what a lot of people were, you know, maybe want out of a female hero character. They want another Wonder Woman, you know, modern day Wonder Woman, where there's just that high emotion, that, you know, curiosity and, you know, the hot body. But you didn't get that with Carol Danvers, like, at all. But, you know, I think Carol Danvers, you know, as the movie's portraying, you know, she understands her role and what she needs to do. So there's that seriousness,
number
there's that
one,
coldness.
Wonder Woman, she goes by Hala Bonte every time she sees Steve Trevor, so I don't know. But
oh, yeah.
It doesn't even have to be the right body. She'll take any Steve Trevor. But I digress with that right there. But with Carol, like, her character is completely different when she takes the mantle of Captain Marvel in the comic books. When she is Miss Marvel, I wouldn't say she's a totally different character. She still has stern parts about her personality, but she still has that comedic joke side of herself. Like, she's always been a very endearing character. She's always been a person to look up to. She's dealt with sexual assault and things of that nature as well, too. So, like, she's a character that's grown in front of people's eyes. It's just when she had the mantle of Captain Marvel, this whole persona of, like, I need to be callous, that's been shining through the comics as soon as she took out the mantle. And I believe in a movie we got to see that, but here's the thing, you need, like, stepping stones to get there. Like, you need a reason to be that cold and callous. I didn't feel that in that movie, but
I get that. But I feel like we have almost too much humor as it is within the MCU. As it is, there's just so much of it, and while it's great and it goes, like, I feel like it's unnecessary to a point, because I feel like that's what's almost expected. Like Thor movies are, well, like,
the third one is comedy. The third one is like, just so much of all it. Comedy.
The third one is straight comedy. You know, but you know, you already get that too with Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is just like, while there's a lot of emotion there, it still is a lot of just banter and back and forth and quips between all the characters. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't need to keep overloading that. You know, stick it with just very, you know, those characters that we expect it from. But when everyone's making a joke out of it, it's like, okay.
No, like, I agree with you. Like, I think there's a lot, there's too many jokes in the Marvel Universe. Like, I know a lot of people love Ragnarok. They love it. Like, it's all the funniness. Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum's a genius in that movie. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I think what turned me off is that I enjoyed the shit out of Thor: The Dark World, and like that's what I get with my Thor. And I think there's a lot of emotional parts that hit really well with Thor. Spoiler alert for people who haven't watched that fucking movie. You know, Thor's mother dying is a huge part of that movie. Hell, even in Ragnarok, Odin dying is a huge part of that movie, and it's a fucking plot device to go somewhere. Like, I felt we. Yeah, straight up. It's like, your right, sister's like, coming.
Oh, shit.
Bye. It's about it.
He didn't want the smoke. He was like, I'm out.
Fuck this shit. I don't know. Like, I agree there's a lot of comedy. I think things like Guardians make sense. Like, because there's an emotional connection with all those characters, and they use comedy to deal with the awkwardness, because they're all introverts in a fucking way as well, too. So they use that uncomfortable comedy, especially Star-Lord, to deep dive into a conversation. When you look at Thor Ragnarok, I'm not trying to shit on it that much, but the first scene of him and Surtur, and he's just like fucking spinning around. No. Bro, I was like, this is what we're doing now, man. We're inner monologuing. This is what we came to.
Yeah.
But he went from Middle Earth, like Led Zeppelin, another, to like making like casual pop culture references like out of nowhere. Like, it's like he got indoctrinated into like MTV and knows everything now.
I mean, but Thor does have that little cocky stupid humor to him, so I mean
yeah, but cockiness is one thing, but like the humor that they're giving
it didn't him it, this, it fit it for just, Chris Hemsworth
it almost but, doesn't fit. They're making it fit. And
Crims.
That's what Crims. I'm saying. Yes, it's for Crims. Ooh, Crims. Crims.
Crims. Yeah.
Thorms.
It fits for Crims, but it doesn't fit for Thor.
Thorms. Chris Thorms.
Chris Thorms.
I mean, I get you guys. I mean, for me, because I've always felt like, you know, Thor is like that at times. But I get you. It's over the top humor, but I just really enjoyed it. I maybe that's just me. I just really enjoyed it at stuff like that when you said right in the beginning where he just goes, "You son of a bitch," like, you know, and then like,
oh, you see, I was just like mad with like, that. I like him. Big Lebowski fucking Thor is great. Like done with my life. I fucking use Stormbreaker as a beer bottle opener. Like, great shit. But even there, I feel like there was more heart in that movie, in Endgame. Especially that part where he sees his mother. And it literally is a tearjerker moment right there. That right there, that emotional part is 10 times better than anything they tried to do emotionally in Ragnarok. Unfortunately, like, I feel like there should have been a heartbeat to that movie, and it was just all like, we're gonna throw as much comedy as possible because we know you hated the Dark World, we know you didn't like the Dark Elves, we know you didn't like Malekith.
Maybe it was a troll movie. Maybe that's not. Maybe you hit the nail on the head.
It really was a troll, bro. Big monster, come on. The big monster. You have Surtur going to town destroying fucking Asgard, and you're making a joke out of it. The punchline of Asgard dying shouldn't be a fucking joke, man. That should be sad.
It really should. And then the other thing I never got is, why does Hulk have to be funny? I never understood that. It's again, I would rather have enjoyed like a legitimate battle between Hulk and Bruce Banner. You know what I mean? The issue with sharing the same body and you know the switch and the changeover and stuff like that. But when it was done again, it was more childish. It was meant to be a slapstick joke, and I just never understood that. Why did that have to be drawn onto Hulk?
Well, I mean, because isn't the thing with Hulk? I mean, I may be wrong, but isn't the thing with Hulk when he becomes Hulk, he just like loses every fucking, you know, like mannerism and everything, he just becomes
he
like
becomes dumb, yeah, like Walking Hulk, like that's why he has his name, like he's just an unstoppable force. Yeah. And I get what they were trying to say in that movie, where he's been in the Hulk body for so long, it's like an infant learning words for the first time. But like, come on, you have parts where like Hulk's ass is showing and he's pulling that shit up and he's playing kickball in his house. I'm like, bro, like, you made my look what you did to my boy.
That's how I felt though. And then people, you know, like I understand that this was what is it, Planet Hulk and stuff like that, but like
it's for a certain audience.
It really truly was.
And I get it. I totally get it, because like
Like
I said, people were like meh with Dark World. And people were even meh with Thor, like the first one. Like I guess they need to comedy it up a bit and make, you know, because Chris Hemsworth was read off the heels of Men in Black, and everybody was like, oh, he's a comedy star now. He makes jokes all the time. Let's go ahead and make him joke around the whole entire fucking movie. And I feel like the essence of Thor was really missed a tad bit in that movie. I'm glad we got it back in Infinity War, and I'm glad we kind of got it back in Endgame as well too. But I loved him in Infinity War. Him fucking making Stormbreaker with my man Peter Dinklage.
He did have a fucking epic intro in Infinity War when he just came out with Stormbreaker. That trumps every MCU moment in my opinion.
It is
even better than I Am Iron Man. Like when he just came in with Stormbreaker, just
had
like
the immigrant song in the background off, too. Like, ah! You carried that move from the other movie. Just followed you.
Yeah. But this goes all the way back to WandaVision. it's that dryness, you know, that very monotone-ish that again that we got with Monica. And again, I guess and I didn't know who Photon was, so that totally went over my head. But the next character, and this was actually saw this as a headline with a very prominent gay magazine, is why the queer community loves Agnes. And Agnes as Catherine as Agnes, not going into, you know, her actual character, but, you know, as Agnes was just fucking phenomenal and it was perfect. The one line that just totally got me was when she was like, I bit a kid once. Like, that one threw me off so bad. And I always expected that from the moment she introduced herself as, you know, the neighbor. I was like, oh, she's going to be that bitch. You know what I mean? She's going to be auntie, you know, just like I'm Auntie Jacob. You know, like she's going to be that bitch whenever she comes in the room, you know, like she doesn't demand the floor, but just what she does and how she acts and how she carries herself, like she just naturally gets it because of how she's able to produce that personality. Now obviously, you know, when you think about it, you know, it's because, you know, that's what her talent is as a witch, you know, that's what she does. It's
witchy,
it's all
improv.
About that what's that word I'm looking for, guys? That
yeah.
It literally what it was. It's the seduction, you know, that she's supposed to do. But I mean, how did you guys feel about Agnes? You know, not so much again as as her character, but
You want to go for it? I mean, I enjoyed it because she's that very prototypical, you know, from like the 50s, 60s. Character. I got that from her, especially with all her I hate my life type, I hate my husband Ralph, you know, and things of that nature, and her little snarkiness, like you said. So when the neighbor went by, I mean the postman went by, she started looking at his ass like things of that nature. You need a character like that, and she was that character. So I mean, I enjoy Agatha all around, so I mean, I like the character.
Yeah, same here. I loved Agatha. I mean, Agnes, at least. Agnes was a breath of fresh air in this whole community that Wanda was trying to make. And we all knew that there was something funny about her as well, too, because she was like the only character that was well, not different, but this let loose. Mm-hmm. Like, let loose.
That was
like
different.
10th degree.
That wasn't.
And, I, you know what? If there's anything that I really want to see more, I wanted more 80s Agnes. Like, Full House Agnes. I feel like we didn't get enough of that. Like, yeah. It was just, like, the kids growing up and stuff like that. That was cool and all that stuff, but... That's I don't true. Know, just she fits so well as like that next door neighbor that just knew it all, that was just there.
Yep. She's the one that bought like every now, TV commercial.
As the villain,
and, you know?
As the main villain. Let's just say, as the main villain as we know so far. How do you... we'll see. We'll see, but how did you feel about the reveal
to Wanda
that, you know, she was behind this all along? Quotation marks.
The theme song was great. The theme song was great. But I don't like her as Agatha. I really don't. I guess when it came to her just kind of circling Wanda, especially towards the end when she's trying to get like her ultimate goal, which is to figure out, you know, how she did what she did and why she did it, and trying to stir up those emotions, like that was nice, that was real, that was, you know, that was very villainy, you know what I mean, poking at somebody, you know, adding the salt to the wound, like that's what I did like what she did. You know, the overly like acting evil laugh and that evil whimsical, like I wasn't much of a fan of that because I thought it was just overplaying her Agnes character too much. But as that villainy part of it, it's a little campy, to be honest, especially when she's holding the kids like Michonne with her fucking walkers. That was just a little, it was extra. Very extra. So that was a little hard to grasp for me. Again, I don't know anything about the character in the comics, what she is, but yeah, as in the few parts where she's just poking at Wanda's emotions.
I mean, if like, I'm not mistaken, right, I feel like I may be wrong, but I know in the comics her lore got switched up a bit to WandaVision. She really wasn't that gritty.
Huh? Fantastic Four. Was she a Fantastic Four?
Character. The one that plays Agatha.
Agatha.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember where I read. Because I was reading into her, and I'm trying to remember like where it said she first appeared.
No, I'm not sure. Maybe I don't know. But my memory's terrible. So, but I think this little side of her was done for WandaVision, possibly, maybe, because I remember in the comics, if my memory serves me well, she wasn't that villainous. Like, she was always that witch. She had that dark power. She was evil, you know, but not like you said, holding the kids like the walkers. I mean, it was a little bit over the top, but I think they tweaked her a bit, because even in the comics, I think it was more when, you know, when we saw the Salem scene. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think in the comics it was how do you say that word? A coven? I don't think that they had that in the comics. So I think they added that into WandaVision to add more of that succubus style that she has as a leech and stuff. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's more of like a character, like an invisible hand. Always with something from the shadows, so what kind of like leading Wanda to different directions, or a direction or a specific direction that fits her fancy. She's also made appearances as Doctor Strange, and anything that's really mystical, she has a part in it as well too. With at least in that last episode, I'm like, yo, Agnes, you could basically change your appearances to anything you want to. You could be sexy, hot ass Agnes with the half mullet going on. You could rock with that all day, but you choose to be Raggedy Ann with these kids on leashes. And I'm like, why? Like, what are we doing? Nah.
her look was fire,
I wanted like 50s Agatha.
You know what? You know what it took me to?
You know what it took me to when I saw
that, bro? I'm like, this is Marvel Hocus Pocus, bro. Like,
it wasn't bad, but I was like, Hocus Pocus, you want it right into WandaVision.
That's what they did.
So So you wanted old ass Agatha Nanny?
Well, that's what Jake wanted. I wanted hot ass. I wanted her talking about the tiger and Ralph, like bending over Agatha. That's what I want. She can do that all day.
Am I right or wrong? Is she
Step-brothers,
right?
She's not. I'll look it up right now. I don't think that's her. She's
really. I'm gonna put you up in the little ball. I'll put you up here. You. Like, that's not right her. Dude, bro. So I've had the wrong face to this person because I'm like, yo, I think.
Yeah, you really did.
She is. No, she it is her.
Okay.
She was in bad.
That's what. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's her.
Yes, she looks totally little ball different than that face. Wow.
Yo, every time I see it, that's all I think about, bro.
You're flat. You're horrible. $500 for singing lessons.
You don't even look good while you're singing. I'm so done, but oh man. But how did you guys feel? I know Jay said that he's been on and off with the... Excuse me, sorry about that. I know Jay said he's been on and off with the MCU verse, the lore and stuff like that. But how did you guys feel that finally, like, after 6 years, we got on screen her being called Scarlet Witch? Like, how did you guys take that moment in when it happened? Jay, how did you feel?
Not even knowing the you know, the lore behind it, but like just feeling the impact of that delivery was actually very well written. And I love that they ended it on that note. And I think that those that know the comic and the character and you know that lore, I know they felt that too. Because I'm not even like really briefed on that, but I felt it, and I knew, like, holy shit, like, this is important. Like, it's like being thrown, like, your identity, you know, after not knowing or, you know, what have you. I thought it was powerful. I thought it was great. I'm glad.
Because even in the show, sorry for cutting you off, Al, like, even in the show, who was, like, where Hayward asked her, does she have any, like, super alias super name? He was like, no. So, but,
Bro, even had me like tilt my head, and I was like, "Wait a minute, no, that's wrong." Like, I know that bitch has a different name. I couldn't remember it at the time until she said "Scarlet Witch." I was like,
"A little cheesy," I knew it. But like, because I saw it through the facade. That's why. Like, it was one of that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm like, "Ooh, you said that." But like, at the same token, it's like what it made me feel is like. We've had this character for all these years in the MCU, but we couldn't use the name Scarlet Witch because if we did that, that's a rights issue with Fox, and Fox had the rights to the name Scarlet Witch. The same way they didn't have the rights to Quicksilver. They never called Pietro Quicksilver in Age of Ultron. So, now that we acquired Fox and we acquired the licenses for X-Men characters, we can go dilly-dally and just call her whatever the fuck we want now. So I think they writ that in pretty smart. But it was like a little cheeky moment for me. I was like,
Like I said, her whole character is just fucking campy,
I mean, it was
bro.
Cheeky because, like, of course, really you knew the whole aspect of the rights. But for people that didn't know the rights, maybe for them it was just something like, you know, phenomenal. So, look, Jake even knew it and he still found it pretty dope. I thought it was pretty cool. I just want to see what... Oh, no, go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead, because I was just probably...
Go ahead.
I was going to lead off into, like, two questions.
No, because I'm changing it.
One is the chaos magic, and then number two, I know you guys were talking about, like, the LGBT characters. So we know her son, Wiccan, you know, he's from that, like, LGBT community. Like, how do you think people will feel to that? Like, knowing Wiccan, that he's married? Like... Do you think eventually down the line they will
My heart, okay, my heart of hearts is saying that these kids are not going to make it. So, and maybe down the line we could get those characters again. I don't know, but my heart of hearts is saying, like, tomorrow comes, goodbye, kids. It's going to be a tearjerker.
But if they were to incorporate him, if they just were to incorporate him only, and even just take Speedball out, I could see it. But then here's the thing. You gotta kind of like explain Hulkling. And Hulkling's a badass character as well, mm-hmm. too. He's a Skrull. And you do have Skrulls there, but that's a lot of world building to do right now. I think they have their hands full the with like American Chavez like trying to get through that first. But I would love it. I think it's very interesting. I would love to see, even if Wiccan doesn't explore his sexuality or his love interest with Hulkling, maybe it's somebody completely different. They could do that as well too. I think it could be cool. I think it could work. On Disney Plus, I think they have every way possible to make that successful. If this was a full franchise movie, I could see more backlash. But on Disney Plus, I feel like they have full reign to do whatever they want.
Okay.
Absolutely, and I think that they would be ready for it. And I know that the people involved with this know that is a huge part of that character. But again, like Frank said, and the way that I see this show going, it's because I think I was even reading on the kids some more, and I did read about the kids' fate, already, and so. Yeah, it's pretty sad, especially because like how quick they grew in this show from little babies to fucking preteens or whatever the hell they are now. You weren't meant to spend a lot of time with these kids, unless again something changes. But again, this is an opportunity to really throw an LGBTQ character in the mix and start that ball rolling. So I could see them taking advantage of that. But again, I don't think that they'll shy away from making hardcore right in the movie. Go ahead. I was going to say, and the next thing I want to talk about, though, because this is the thing that like really just like painting me is Quicksilver himself. Like, was this supposed to be like a Deadpool,
the more I think about
wall
it,
kind of, you know, I was joke going down on that its own
too. I was like, okay, cool, we're getting X-Men and it's gonna be awesome. No, I just think once again it's kind of like the Scarlet Witch situation where we have the rights to certain things, so we can dilly dally as much as we can right now. We could play with these characters the best way as possible. I have a negative perspective on it. I know like Jay is a little bit more high on it than anybody else. You probably are too. But they kind of trolled us as a troll us with that move. But that's just me.
Oh, I did that. No, for like 100%. Like me personally, I loved Quicksilver in the X-Men franchise. Like I loved his character. He fits so well into that series, into the two movies that he was included on. I loved it, and I loved Evan Peters as that character. But it, also thinking about the timeline too, like that was the fucking 60s, you know what I mean? Like I don't like one, this is more modern time. Like how the hell is he still that young? And get I don't know what his aging factor is like. Maybe it's like Logan. I really don't know. But the fact that you have Evan Peters Quicksilver in this more current timeline is very, 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 very.
See all that Agatha talk? She snatched him up. Them. It was
he flipped on live podcast.
Do not edit that out.
What do they call it? In memoriam.
Yeah, in memoriam. No! For the Whitney Houston. Like, Far From Home, well, bro. Oh, man.
Oh, he's blipping back.
Jake? He blipping all over the place, bro. Nah, use the stones to destroy the stones.
Well, until Jake comes back, if he does come back. You had a second question. What was that second question?
Damn, I wanted. Yo, Jake, this is the second time you do this to us. I wanted to ask him about, like, you know, how he felt about Chaos Magic, and especially you, since you know about, like, the lore of Chaos Magic, like, and I was, like, deep diving more into it and just thinking about it, like, do you think it's something that they will actually touch this briefly, or like, you know, actually touch what Chaos Magic is? You know, we know it came from the god, what is it, Catan, I forgot how to pronounce his name, from just a species that evolved, and
it's weird, like, and because in the Marvel Universe, bro, like, Doctor Strange puts a kibosh on that real quickly, saying there's no such thing as Chaos Magic.
But I mean, if you look at the Darkhold is pages of flesh containing his work. So, like, I mean, you risk kind of like exploring that route because you got the Darkhold, and I mean, the Darkhold, but then it's like you said, Doctor Strange. You know, I think it's more of a facade that they're trying to do, that kind of like steer people away, kind of how they say there's no Illuminatis. You get what
I'm
saying?
Well, I mean, it would make sense to introduce Chaos Magic. Here's the thing, though. I'm all aboard if this is the direction we're doing for Wanda. If Wanda, like I said, is going to be like this fragile mind, like anything to set her off, and Chaos Magic could be a part of that as well too, I'm all for it. I just do not want them to put too many hands in a cookie pot with this character already, because we just went for one retcon. We just retconned her whole story with the Tesseract, or the Mind Stone, excuse me. And you know, she's full-on witch. She's a witch. She's been a witch for a hot minute. Okay, cool. I don't want to hear in this last episode, oh wait, she's a witch and she's a mutant, because now you're just convoluting everything now. You're giving us everything that we have dealt with in the comic books all these years, these 30 to 40 years worth of reading into like 8 episodes, 9 episodes. That makes no sense. If you're going to stick with the concept that she's a witch, just roll with that. And I'll be okay with that. Throw fucking Chaos Magic out there. I am down for it. Let her fucking turn fucking people into salamanders and step on them. Rock and roll. Let's do that shit. I just don't want it to be like, well, it's not really Chaos Magic. It's probability. And she uses probability to manipulate this and that. I'm like, you're just muddling the waters now. Now you're just pissing off the audience.
Yeah, but you're right. But in the comic, like, I mean, it could kind of play out. I just really want to get to the bottom. If, all right, if you're going to give me Chaos Magic, give me Chaos Magic. And, you know, like, House of M status. We saw it in the last episode. But, I mean, in the comics more, before she knew about the Chaos Magic, she was running off the Hex probabilities. So now maybe what Agatha telling her, like, bro, that's Chaos Magic. Maybe we can kind of finally see that, like you said, where she can just turn people into whatever the F she wants. Of course, keeping within the living protocols and guidelines, because, you know, easily that's just too much. We're not gonna, that's just me geeking the fuck out, because we're not gonna get the living tribunal, the thing,
like,
of course.
Like, so. I would love that. Like, I would even love the fact that they try to play duality on that a little bit. But here's the thing, like, I feel like you did that with Thor and it didn't work out that well. Like, you made Asgard, like, alien yet scientific at the same time. You made it mystical yet scientific. And at some points, it's cool. And at some points, it's like, well, just don't think about it too much, because it's going to hurt your head. And I don't want that to be for Scarlet Witch. Like, I'm very much a Thor guy, where it's just like, Asgard's a real place. It's not an alien place. You know, they use fucking magic. That's what they do. And, like, I just hate that they kind of like try to make it real in a way. They're like, oh, it's scientific, it's all science. Like, no, let's be in a world where shit happens and we can't explain it. It's okay. Doctor Strange is it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to get asked Jake's question as well. Jake, what's going on? But I guess I'll ask you in the meantime, so he gets here. You know, we got the Multiverse of Madness, and she did drop in the last, was it the last episode or the sixth episode, where she says, maybe I am the villain. And then we see the imagery of Scarlet Witch. Could maybe in some weird multiverse we explore Scarlet Witch as a villain in the Multiverse of Madness
before we actually see Wanda chill? It's one of those things now that I don't want to even speculate anymore, because I feel like it's not going to live up to anybody's expectations. So I'm along for the ride for tomorrow. But, it's tough. I feel like you went a whole 360 already. with her character. No, more of a 180, excuse me. You went a whole 180 because now you already backtracked on a lot of things you were setting up for Wanda as a villain. Like, you were really planting seeds to lead this whole story as her being, like, the antagonist of this whole thing. And with that last episode, as much as I liked it, you kind of retconned a lot of things you were talking about. The Hayward manipulation, the Agatha manipulation, things of that nature. So she's just a person that's continuously being manipulated. If you want to use that as, like, something then to end off the episode, like, she's just pissed off of being manipulated and she, like, goes to town, I could understand that. But from her going to, like, evil Scarlet Witch, you know, with chaos magic unloading unearthly hell into a multiverse of madness, as awesome as that sounds, I feel like we we sympathize with her way too much for that to happen now. As, like, from a story point of view, like, me looking this as, like, as a viewer watching a show, I feel like with the tropes of storytelling, we have already made her so sympathetic that it would be weird to see her go crazy right there again. Like, if that makes sense.
No, I get you. Yeah, because we were talking about that off the podcast, and you were kind of like, the end result of WandaVision, you want to see, like, you know, a little slap on the hand and be reprimanded, not just walk away scot-free. But I feel that we already got that, and that's why your statement makes sense, because we saw all that from the beginning in Age of Ultron, when she started as a villain, the Sokovia Accords, where she just blew up Crossbones when she just threw him up in the sky and blew up half of the building with the innocent people. Of course she wasn't, you know, meaning to do that, but she's kind of atoning for all that now. So I definitely feel you that, yeah, there's no backtracking with her right now. So it was just something where I wanted to just, you know, reach as the episode, as this is coming to an end tomorrow. And I was just like, okay, maybe that line can play into something.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
But I think he's having technical issues. He's not going to be able to make it for the rest of the podcast. But I mean, we got some good Jake stuff on this podcast. So I got to clap my hands to that right there. You guys had some awesome conversations. I'll throw this to you right now. Any expectation for tomorrow? What are you feeling? Are you along for the ride, or are you just expecting something?
Hell yeah, I'm along for the ride. I've been for the ride since, this is why I have Disney Plus for this show. Tomorrow, I'm expecting the scrap between Wanda and Agatha, of course. I still want to see where Photon is going to come into all of this. Maybe, possibly she's fighting whoever Pietro is, if it's Ralph. I don't think it's Mephisto. People are just expecting for Mephisto to be it. I really don't think at this point, like you said, we probably will get like a lesser, maybe a nightmare, or just, like I said, if we do see something like that, I think it'll just be a shadow on the ground. He's too big of a name to drop on a show. I want to see Doctor Strange come in this and shut all this stuff down, bro. I won't lie. Like, I know it's big and it's reaching, but I mean, it just has to end with Doctor Strange some way, somehow coming in there and just like using his powers. We know he doesn't have the stone, but he don't need the stone to get down. But like, for it to end in the perfect caveat to lead into what they're trying to do and what they told us, that this is going to kickstart MCU, you know, phase four. And with all the shenanigans, I know you said we got trolled with Agatha and the Pietro. I feel like I got more trolled with, we didn't see the aerospace engineer. And we still have not seen that Luke Skywalker type character, like they said on The Mandalorian, you know, comparing it to The Mandalorian. So possibly I'm still waiting to see either this aerospace engineer to shut it down.
You know, I don't know, man. I'm going in tomorrow with just bright-eyed, open-eyed, because if I think too hard about it, there's too many loose ends they need to fucking fix before it ends tomorrow. And maybe they won't. Like, the Hayward stuff, that needs to be addressed. The townspeople in fucking Westview. Westview alone needs to be addressed somehow.
You know, sorry for cutting you off. So sorry for cutting you off. This has been, I don't know if I told you this, or maybe I just did not look at it because I still have to watch the seventh episode again. in the episode where you meet Wu and Rambo, there wasn't a Westview. But wait, why are you driving up to Westview?
Like, no, no, is that no, exactly. Like, we didn't talk about that. We said there's only Eastview. Cop said that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Hayward's like control over Westview. That's another thing. That's a lot to explain in that last episode right there, along with everything else you have. Me personally, I'm a little underwhelmed with Dottie. Like, I felt like you set her up as this like ultra like bitch character, which she has been in different movies, and she's great at that. But I also remember she's the wife of Ricky Bobby as well too. So many people from like Will Ferrell movies. Yeah, she's the wife of Will Ferrell, and then she's the wife of John C. Reilly because you know she leaves for him.
Oh wow!
Look at that. All these like Will Ferrell cameo appearances besides Will Ferrell. That would be great. That's a Luke Skywalker moment right there.
Just driving through Westview. Woo! If you ain't first, you're last.
I'll take that all day. Wrap it up. Cut. It's a wrap. Whatever they say. That's stuff to like do. Dottie. I felt like that was underwhelming. What else? The kids. You have to wrap the kids up. You have to wrap up Vision and his arc. Nega Vision with the white Vision. What else you have to wrap up? I feel like Darcy. Does Darcy have powers or not coming out of this? We don't know. That's one thing we gotta look at. Woo, Rambo. What she's gonna do? Is Rambo gonna be the one that like takes down Hayward? Which that would make sense.
Could be. There is that would make sense, but there is a lot of loose ends.
Let's cut you off. The director, who I feel is super fucking like casual too, like her best friend. That's the director of Sword now. Like he hasn't made an appearance at all since that first episode, right?
Wait, her best friend. Oh, wait.
Remember where she was trying to get her mom's position, and then the best friend, the guy, said they grew up together. He has that position now.
No, I don't think he has.
And he was kind of set up as like not a dick character, but like I felt like he was being set up for something bigger. Like, well, I have the authority for Shield or for Sword now, so like you go do this and deal with this over here while I take care of things at home. I'm like, I always felt like that was something in my head that I wanted to remember, and it's never came back up again. So I don't know. Maybe he makes it the last appearance of the year, like, Hayward, you scoundrel, you shouldn't be doing this. Knock, 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 knock.
My thing is as well, maybe this is just me freaking, because I look at things different. I'm strange like that. But my thing is, all right, bro, you got chaos magic, you got the power to create. Even if this nega vision obliterates your vision, you can just recreate him again like you did. You get what I'm saying? Because literally he spawned out of you. So I mean, I don't know, there's just a lot, bro. And It just sucks that also maybe she's gonna have to kill Negavision, which is like her body and vision again. So I mean, I know it's a lot. Tomorrow's length. What do you think it is?
I hope so, because tomorrow? If we get like 45 minutes, I'm gonna be kind of pissed off. Like, just give us a full hour and let it be, because that Vision arc is gonna be hella fucking emotional. Like, you know, as we saw too, she never took Vision's body. She just saw it. So he is not like a sentient being, or at least a being of matter. He is completely made of chaos magic, so he could be whimmed away with no problem. I don't know. I know a lot of people are theorizing that she's gonna use that personality of what she made of Vision to put in white Vision, but I feel like you're not building the character. Like, she doesn't learn from anything. Like, there has to be a lesson at least learned somehow in this, and it really has to be acceptance.
I think, that's it has to culminate in that. I think, you know, with her, maybe this is just me theorizing, but her seeing the body, Vision come back, maybe in the battle, like you said, I was one that said, hey, bro, just put that entity, that sentient being, into the body. Like, you got it. That's your boo right there. But she has to learn. And I think at the end, after it's all said and done, I think she's just gonna accept it. She's gonna body Vision, and she's just gonna, you know, whatever happens, happens, bro. Like, we got the Monica Rambeau telling her, like, bro, you have to accept this pain and let it go. When you saw her kind of hesitate to think about it, like,
it's almost like an allegory of Dante's Inferno, just Disneyed up, almost like she's going through all the trials of agony, of pain, hell, even lust at parts as well too, when they bring the beds together. Like, she is going through all that specifically. And the only thing she hasn't dealt with is acceptance yet, to accept the fact that things are the way they are. Yeah. And I think it has to end on that note, which is kind of cheesy, but at the end of the day, it is Disney. So, like, there has to be that point there. But is it cheap for me? No, because I like the story and it makes sense to the story. But also, too, like, what do you do now with Wanda? Like, she's learned from this. Do you put her through the tutelage of Doctor Strange? I think that would be fun. Maybe he takes her under his wing. You know, hey, you know magic, I know magic. You don't know how to control it, I can teach you how to control it. I have a million books to show you how to do this. Let's figure it out together.
Sure. And he does know about chaos magic, so he can be the mentor of Wanda. So, because we know he does borrow magic, we know he knows about it. So I would love for it, bro, but I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm ready.
You know what?
At the same
time, in my head, canon muchacho, I think that Benedict Cumberbatch is maybe done with Doctor Strange in about 4 or 5 years, and that's just my mind's eye, because I see this guy as a person who doesn't like to do the same shit over and again. He likes to change it up a tad bit, and as much as he's done a lot for Doctor Strange, I feel like he already has done a swan song already with Endgame. A lot of people did. You give him this last movie, maybe one more movie or a big event, bro, you can kill him off and make Wanda the Sorceress Supreme. I know, I'm putting ideas in people's heads.
Don't say that, because you would get me super excited. I would love to see that. Hey, I mean, she does got the little hand movement.
She sees that vision, but it's not a vision, it's a her.
But yeah, I feel he's on the Robert Downey level, where he's done so much good things for the MCU, for Doctor Strange as well, that I think you're absolutely correct. Maybe one or two movies. I say one or two. And not even kill him off, bro. Just have this dude like fade into a multiverse. Like, all right, I'm done.
Mamu,
like,
we're gonna hang out for a while.
Leave me alone. Yeah. because I feel he's on that Robert Downey where we don't even need this guy right now, especially with what we were talking about in the beginning. It's time to pass the torch to all these young Avengers, to these young characters. We're getting this plethora of Disney shows, Hawkeye, Kamala Khan, now that you told me, the Ironheart. So I think it's time to transition into the next phase. Let's just not burn these lovable characters out, because we're gonna get tired of it eventually, man. Like, how hard can you go? I mean, we know the comic book lore is there to go, but I mean, at the end of the time, we did see different things, like you said, West Coast Avengers, Young Avengers, freaking Thunderbolts.
Never know.
I mean, we're not gonna get that, but you know, like, and we see different.
You make
things.
A great point. Like, we need to. Yeah. Well, one big thing is right here is that, well, the Avengers are disassembled. So what do we do now? Who takes the next step for Avengers? Who are going to be the next Avengers? Like, you have your Winter Soldiers and your Falcons there. You have, you know, maybe one or two, like Thor still around. Right. Guardians are there, but like, who is going to make up that mantle to say, big box office, we're coming to the movies, we're going to see this fucking movie, it's going to generate millions of dollars. Who can take that torch? Or what group of individuals can take that torch? And maybe Disney Plus is the way to make you feel something again, to make you feel like, hey, these are the characters that are adhering to me. We saw all these episodes. We feel like they're ready. Hopefully something can come out of that.
Okay, I get you. I definitely agree with you. That's why I feel that WandaVision is probably a Monica Rambeau story, if I'm not right or wrong. Didn't Monica Rambeau Photon lead the Avengers at one point? So maybe we can see that down the line. And you're doing, like you said, sorry for cutting you off, you're doing it right now. You're making her a endearing character. You're supposedly going to kickstart Phase 4. I don't know if they said Phase 4 is going to have Avengers. I think they didn't. But, I mean, you're laying the groundwork there with Photon.
I mean, so you have the people there. Hell, you're going to have Jane Foster as Thor in the next movie. So You know, you want to have Photon, Thor, mm-hmm. you know, throw some rescue in there. Oh, my God.
Give me that. Give me what was it called? Give me Thor Corpse. That's what it was, right?
What was that called? That everybody had a hammer? Even a frog?
I forgot what like that one is. I want to say something of hammers, but bro, I'm also thinking about X's. I'm also thinking about X's.
Oh, Thor, yes, so. Look at that. Yeah, look at that. Give me that, bro. Lightning Corpse or Hammer Corpse or something, bro. But I don't know. We'll see, though, man. It just kind of sucks that Jake fell out of this like midway.
Oh, was that for yourself? That was for yourself, right?
No, I think they legit had a comic book series where it was Jane Foster, maybe Thor, and then I think they had like a little a rabbit, not a rabbit or a frog or something. I'll take it. But it was just a bunch of Thors, bro. I think Beta Ray was in there as well. Like, it was everybody, bro. It was like just near crazy.
Guys, next week we'll give you our thoughts on how we felt about the final episode of WandaVision and where it takes place and what it sets up for the next phase for the MCU. We also could talk a little bit about our thoughts for the upcoming Falcon and Winter Soldier series as well too, and how we feel about that. So next week should be a packed episode as well too, but I do thank Jake for stopping by and blipping out of here in remarkable fashion, like in the best fashion as well too, like on cue.
Thanos is inevitable.
But since we still have you, and you are the true blue guy over here, no, not Mr. Fantastic, you are you, sir, where can people find you?
Oh, I thought you would have said Dr. Manhattan.
I mean, you know, you are packing and you are just, you know, letting it swing everywhere.
Like Thor. I mean, like Hulk.
Where can people find you if they want to have some banter about WandaVision and maybe some theories as well, too, theorize on the ending or whatnot? Where can people talk to you about that stuff?
Ooh, you can hit me up on my Instagram and my Twitter handle, which is the same. Oh, I actually tweaked it. So, you know, first news, I tweaked it to Sun Eater UA. So that's Sun Eater altogether, UA altogether, My Hero Academia for y'all people that love it. You get me up there. That's my Twitter and my Instagram. But if you guys also want to chat with Val and I about some MMA, you can hit us up on the Kimura Chronicles. You know, we got that big fight coming up, UFC 259 Saturday night. We just have fun over there talking about MMA. That's the Kimura Chronicles on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and that podcast is everywhere. So wherever you guys get your podcast from, check it out, because we there. Also, as much as we love MMA and as much as we love pop culture and all this stuff, we love wrestling as well. You can check us out on Elite Wrestling Audio. That's all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And that podcast as well is everywhere on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. You name it, it is there. We are there bringing you guys some good wrestling news. Video games, lag switching. Hit us up on that. That's on Instagram. We actually did stream Remnant from Ashley, which they gave for free on PS Plus. Jake was there. Val was there. We were there. We were all streaming, having a good time. Check that out. That's on my Twitch, Ambient Aizawa. Hopefully, we're going to get back together and stream. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
No, you guys are done
with the game. But I'm not too sure about that. But yeah, the Twitch, Ambient Aizawa, we were streaming some Remnant and lag switching. That's on Instagram. And that podcast is on Apple and Spotify. And we just talk about video games out there. That's where I'm at. But yes, people want to talk to you some more WandaVision. Some more. Is there something that I missed? I'm done. Bro, don't give me no handles, man. I'm terrible at this. But, if people want to talk to you about WandaVision and chaos magic, if they want to talk about you, Riri Williams, and things of that nature, horror movies, because I know you're a horror movie buff, like Shotzi Blackheart.
Ooh, they can follow me at snufffilmsdumbledore.com. No. Give you a real reason to run, you fools. Y'all can find me at Lucha Val Cisco on Twitter, Lucha Val Cisco on Instagram. Pop Culture Fanatics is everywhere, from Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And it's on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, you name it, we're on it. So please come enjoy the banter as we're doing right now. If you want to hear more about the Snuff Films by Dumbledore.
I'm trying to hold it in. Don't say it.
Please request it. I'll make it up somehow. But I appreciate you, brother, for joining me on this episode. Jake as well too. We'll speak for him as well too. And for the rest of us,
yes.
Good night. Take care. Sweet.
take it. Yeah, good night. Take care, bro. Jake, this is
he's gone. Us. He's blipped. Sorry, my feelings. He's in the alternate dimension.
Yeah,
now.
He's done. Yeah. Kang got his ass, bro. But yeah, everybody, take care. It's a blast. Thank you, man.
Later, guys.
I always love being here.